Good morning. You're very welcome. It's good to see you all out this morning as we look forward and celebrate the Christmas season. If you're visiting with us, you're also very welcome. Delighted to see you here. Or if you're watching or worshipping with us in solid ground, you're very welcome too. We trust that everybody will enjoy the fellowship together and be blessed through our service today. As usual, there's tea and coffee available following the service in the Solid Ground Cafe. I hope everyone has received a copy of the announcements. There's just a couple I would like to highlight. I just remind folks of our services next Sunday. We have two services next Sunday, tomorrow morning at 11:30, where we will look at the Angel's Song of Peace. And then in the evening at 6:30 is our annual carol service. And I've also been asked to announce, as we near the end of the year, for organisations in particular, and for leaders of organisations, that the 218 accounts are requested to be with them by Sunday the 6th of January. That's the first Sunday of January. Now, that may seem very early in the year, but the finance team have some work to do on them. They have to be audited. They have to go to our accountants, and then they're used to be included within their statistical return. That's required by the beginning of February, by press release. So we do ask if you could get those to the financial subcommittee, that would be great. And also on that theme as well, for the 2000, again, for organisations and groups, each year we ask you to provide a report of all the activities and things that you've done during the year for inclusion in the annual report, the church annual report. And we're asking for those by Sunday the 13th of January, please, if that would be possible. Thank you. Just a couple of other wee things as well. Last week it was announced about the baubles that are in the vestibule with the prayer request for missionary within that. If you haven't taken one of those, please do. A lot of people have, but there's still a few there. So please do take those with you. And again, at this time of year, a lot of stamps and so on are received through the post and so on as well. We're collecting those for leprosy mission, and there's a box in the festival. If you could just bring those along at some stage, that would be great. Okay, as we come to worship God, I've taken a couple of verses from the prophet Isaiah, two very well-known verses from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Amen. Let us come to sing and to praise. Our first praise, Here I Am to Worship. Let us praise God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you're our God. Lord, as we come before you on this lovely December Sunday morning, we acknowledge that you are indeed our Heavenly Father, who is due all of our hearts praise and adoration. At this Christmas time, we especially thank you for your wonderful gift of Jesus, the light of this world, who loved us so much and humbly came to the earth you created. Lord, help us in the midst of the tinsel, lights and shopping to remember the real reason for Christmas and to sincerely and with meekness of heart celebrate the birth of Jesus, the greatest gift the world has ever known. Lord, we are so grateful your story has become our story. And yet, Lord, we often walk in our ways rather than your ways, and delight in our will rather than your will. We thank you for your patience with us, and that you have loved us in such a real way through the gifts of Jesus, the cross, and your salvation. Lord, we thank you for your unending compassion, that no matter how challenging our problems, how terrible our mistakes, how shameful our secrets, how often we stumble and fall, we can seek your forgiveness and find peace through you. So just now, Lord, we take a moment in silence to individually confess our sins to you. Lord, we ask that you create in us clean hearts and help us to be faithful, gracious, loving, and the forgiving people you would have us be. As we worship you today, help us to put aside any distractions from the past week, our plans for later today, or even the week ahead. Be with Neil as he brings us your word for us from Zechariah's Song of Faith. We ask that the light of your word enters our hearts so that the wonder of your love fills us to overflowing, helping us to find peace and refreshment in your presence. And as we sing shortly, we'll sing shortly, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. In Jesus' name we ask all of this. Amen. Let us come to sing again as a congregational praise, O little town of Bethlehem.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to hear you in such fine singing voice this morning. I'm dummy fluting a bit. I'm trying to save my voice, and I hate not being able to sing. What happens is I get the first verse and I think I'll save myself. By verse two, I'm in there and growling away. It's hard to hold back when we're singing praises to God. We're going to come to God now around His Word together. And the reading today is going to begin in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Today we're thinking about Zechariah's song, and the last time when we looked at this, we looked at Mary's song, and today we're looking at Zechariah's song, and we want to go right back and read as much about Zechariah as we can, so that when we come to God's Word in a moment or two, we'll have plenty of information. So, this is God's Word, the birth of John the Baptist foretold, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." And then if you move over to verse 57, where we get to the birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Amen. And we ask God to bless us even as his word is read. We're going to sing with the boys and girls now before they go out a song that just reminds us. We've just read a story here about Zechariah and about Zechariah's son. But this song that Zechariah sang was about Jesus. It's about salvation. It's about God's salvation history. And O Little Town of Bethlehem that you just sang takes us to the town, and now we're singing Away in a Manger. It reminds us of Jesus, the author of our salvation. Let's stand together and sing. The end. We're going to continue to worship God now with our tithes and offerings.
Let's pray together.
Lord, as we meet here to worship, as the sun shines through the windows, those various colors, Lord, representing different things, we're just reminded of the many blessings, the colorful blessings, Lord, that you lavish on our lives. And Lord, this is an opportunity for us to, in some way, with joyful hearts, say thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and are doing. And we pray, Lord, that our offering will go in some way, along then with your blessing, to do immeasurably more in your kingdom, things that we wouldn't even think possible. So, Lord, accept these, our gifts today. Bless them for your kingdom, as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We come now to that time when we pray for others. And Ruth and I were just reflecting yesterday on various things that are on the news and on Facebook and the Christian Institute's website, and our conclusion is this, and we are right, obviously. The world is not going mad. The world is mad. And we were just reflecting at that at our time of prayer down in Clocky this morning. As we think of what's going on in the world around us, sometimes I just go, what is going on? But then we're reminded that God is sovereign. God hears our prayers. Our prayers reveal his will around us. And God is still at work. And we need to meet together to pray at various times, at various different groups, various times through the week. But when we're here together, we always want to take this opportunity to pray for people who are caught up in the madness of this world. And that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to pray just about two or three things this morning. Try and give you space so that you can pray for people who are maybe in the types of madness that I'm praying for. And take time to pray for people who just God lays on your hearts. Let's come before God now as we seek him by his Spirit in prayer. Lord God, as we bow before you, we just ask for your Spirit to move amongst us. We feel your Spirit powerfully as we sing, as we stand, and as we open our lungs, and as you let that noise come out, Lord. And now as we just bow in quietness, we pray for that same power to lead us as we pray. Lord, we thank you for this part of your creation where you have placed us on the peninsula. We thank you, Lord, that its beauty is there to see even when the weather is bad, when the waves are crashing, when the wind is blowing, when the rain is driving. Lord, we can sit in our homes and look out and as we drive along in our cars, we can still see just the energy of your creation. And today, Lord, as the sun breaks out through that bad weather, we just see your majesty in the creation around us. And yet, Lord, we live on a part of your creation where our roads are twisty, where there are many people driving on them who are sometimes distracted by the beauty of creation. Those who are distracted by the madness of the world that applies to their life. We drive on roads that hold water and can be treacherous. And Lord, many of us drive along in a hurry. And we just pray over this festive season, Lord, for road safety. We thank you that we can meet today and give thanks, Lord, that a family in our congregation who have been through a car accident are well and unharmed. And we just thank you, Lord, that your hand has been upon that. We pray, Lord, that you would continue with the Nelsons, Lord. We know that when something traumatic happens, while physically we are okay, sometimes mentally and emotionally, there can be lingering. So we just pray for that family, for all the members of that family, for those children who had that experience. We pray your peace upon them, Lord. If any terrors or any fear comes upon them, Lord, just fill them with a spirit of peace. Lord, as we meet today, we are reminded of how quickly joy can turn to sorrow. And we want to think today of the Corkum family in Newton Ards, Lord, who had a child who got out through the door and was sadly knocked down and has lost his little life. We pray for that family, for all involved in that situation, Lord. And in one sense, it's very difficult for us to imagine joy in their Christmas. But Lord, we do pray again peace for them, Lord, and understanding of what is going on. Draw people, godly people, spirit-filled people alongside these folks that we don't know. But Lord, you know them, and we pray for them. Politically, Lord, in our country, we are at a time of real uncertainty with Brexit. Lord, and things should have been done maybe sooner and quicker and better. It seems that it's going to linger on over Christmas. We just pray, Lord, that all the pantomime that is around Brexit, Lord, at this time, would not take away the joy of Christmas for people involved and people affected. We pray, Lord, for the members of the European Union and for our government who are trying to negotiate some sort of deal that will not please everyone, no matter what is in it. But we pray, Lord, that when the time comes, Lord, that separation will happen and we will somehow be able to get on with our lives. We pray for businesses, Lord, who are rightly concerned at this time, wondering what is going to happen, affected by the pound as it goes up and down and the uncertainty of what will happen at our border. And Lord, we don't want that to ruin anyone's experience of taking time to remember that Jesus Christ was born and the reason why he was born. Lord, this Brexit deal will be sorted out one way or another. But as we meet, Lord, we want to pray today for the deal that is above all deals. Brexit, Lord, will come and go. The sun will rise and set. There will be morning and evening and days will pass. And Lord, you will still be sovereign. You will still be working out your salvation history. You will still be calling individuals who do not have a relationship with you into a relationship with you, with the best deal possible. Eternity free. So Lord, we pray for that deal today, even as we meet to worship. We pray you would remind all gathered here who know Jesus as Savior of the work that you have done in their lives. And for those who are gathered here, Lord, who have not experienced a relationship with you, we pray that that deal would be done today, done swiftly, not left for another time. So as we come around your word, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would move powerfully, speaking to each of us words that you need us to hear, words that you want us to hear, words that will make us more like your Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, the first songs of Christmas were on Zachariah's song today, and I wasn't going to do such quite a long reading today. I was just going to read the song and then reflect back on some of the verses that went previously. But as I read through about Zachariah, as I was reading the sort of the backstory, I got into a bit of a quandary about Zachariah. He sort of got me a bit confused. And I was trying to think of an illustration to try and explain how I was thinking. And this is the one I've come up with. So imagine you're on an airplane and you hear the bing bong. This is your captain speaking. We have departed on time and we are cruising along now nicely at 30,000 feet at a speed of approximately 550 miles per hour. We are on track to land at our destination on time. Mind you, I don't know if we'll actually make it to our destination. After all, weather systems, oh, they change quickly. Flocks of birds regularly hit the plane, causing all kinds of damage. Engines fail and planes crash, sometimes never to be found again. Anyway, the cabin crew will be with you shortly with a selection of drinks and snacks. A pilot has been trained to fly a plane. He has rigorously checked this plane out before it took off. He's got the thing off the ground and he's flying along nicely. But now he's communicating a complete lack of faith in his ability and the plane's ability to reach the destination safely. And Zechariah, I think, is the same. He is a priest trained to serve in the temple. He is serving in the temple. But he seems to have lost faith in that great covenant promise of God. I'm going to start chapter 1 of Luke, verse 5. And I invite you to turn with me as we just jump through these verses. Do we explore this man, Zechariah, and see if we can work out this quandary that we see he finds himself in. So verses 5 to 7 tell us that Zechariah is a priest, and he's married to a priest's daughter. Now this is a special union. And we know that that's still a special union today, isn't it? Oh, such and such is going out with such and such, and he's the minister's son. Or he's the minister's daughter. My poor children. Because I'm a minister. But we do that still, don't we? Oh, he's going out with a child with a man. We try to find that very well. Anyone has any ideas, they're not for that highfalutin notion about our man. So if you ever get in through the door, it's just an ordinary man. And we are ordinary people. But for Zechariah, a priest to be married to a priest's daughter, this was a special, special union. And they were special people. We are told that they are upright, blamelessly observing God's commands. Now, they're not sinless. But what we're saying here and what this passage is telling us, they are doing the best job possible with the word of God, applying it to their lives. But they have no children. And this is odd because in these days, as we've read, childlessness is seen as some kind of punishment from God because of disobedience or something. But this couple are upright and godly, but they've no children, so something else must be going on. And then we're told that they're both well on in years. Now, I'm not going to begin to guess what age that was, because that will get me in deep trouble, because there's a variety of ages, so I don't want to call any of you well on in years. But what we're saying here and what has been said here is that they were past the normal age for bearing children. And Zechariah, we find in verses 8 to 10, he's on duty in the temple. And they've cast lots. They kind of draw straws to see who's going to be the one who goes in behind the curtain to burn the incense. Now, sometimes we think drawing the short straw, we say that as, oh, you've got the bad end of the job. You've got the dirty job to do. Whoever draws the short straw has to do the bad thing or the terrible thing. But not in this case. Going in there was a privilege. It was a privilege to go in behind the curtain. But it was a privilege with a certain amount of fear and trepidation. That priest would have went in tied, either around the waist or maybe by the leg, I can't just remember, but they were tied as they walked in case they did something wrong and God struck them down. That has happened before. You think of the Ark of the Covenant as it was being moved, and as it fell off the wagon, the man put his hand to it and he was struck down. So there was this fear that you could go in behind this curtain and something would happen to you. Then nobody else wanted to go in, so they just dragged you out by the rope. But it was a privilege to go in behind the curtain and to do this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Zechariah goes in, and while there was a certain amount of fear and trepidation, I'm pretty sure he wasn't ready for verses 11 and 12, an angel of the Lord appearing to him. Now, this wasn't normal. This wasn't something that happened all the time. It has been 500 years since a heavenly visitor visited earth. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. There was another presence, an angel or presence from heaven in that fiery furnace. That was the last experience anyone had 500 years previously. So, of course, he was afraid. Not that the angel was scaring him in any way, but just the awe and the wonder. That reverent fear. And then those lovely words, verse 13, do not be afraid. This frightening appearance calmed with words that would become familiar words. We've heard those words before with Mary, we'll hear them again with the shepherds and the angels. Fear not, do not be afraid. And then the angel says, your prayer has been heard. And then he goes on to say, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Now we've got to take this statement and break this into two, because the angel is saying to Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. This is not the prayer for a child. Zechariah was the priest. His job was to go in and burn incense and pray a prayer for the redemption of Israel. There is no way any priest would take a chance and go into the Holy of Holies and try and slip in a wee something personal for fear that he'd be struck down and have to be dragged out with the rope. What the angel is saying here, your prayer for the redemption of Israel has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son because your son is going to be part of that answered prayer. He is going to be part of that redemption of the nation and indeed the world. You will call this son of yours John. The Lord is gracious. Even now we begin to understand that Elizabeth's barrenness was not a punishment. It was a matter of God's timing. Then the angel, verses 14 to 17, starts to explain the special part that John will play in this redemption story. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Well, that in itself, if that was all the angel said, boy, I'll tell you, that would be some accolade. That would be something to have on your tombstone. Neil Stewart, great in the eyes of the Lord. Wow, I'd settle for that now. But this guy was to take no fermented drink or wine. Sounds a little bit like what we remember from Samson, a Nazarite. But we can't really call John a Nazarite because there's no reference here that his hair shouldn't be cut. But he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Wow. He's going to go before the Lord in the spirit of Elijah. Elijah. He's one of the Hegians, just in case you don't know the rest of the story. He's one of the bigwigs. He's one of the superheroes of the faith. So this guy is going to go in that same type of journey. This was fulfilling the words of the last prophecy 400 years ago. So if you flick back, or you flick to the, if you did flick to the end of the Old Testament, to Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we're told there that there will be the spirit of Elijah. And now Zechariah has been told that his son is the fulfillment of that prophecy. He is going to make people prepared for the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you. You know the way there's that great debate about whose wains are the best? Oh, mine's was walking at such and such a day. Oh, mine's was talking at such and such a day. Oh, mine got this. Mine does that. Mine spins in circles and does somersaults. And mine's just 4 years of age and already know trigonometry. And you know how that goes? Zechariah could trump that all. John was some boy. He was going to be some boy. This was unbelievable. But, verse 18, for Zechariah, it is unbelievable. He can't be sure. On one hand, he's had all of this amazing prophecy about this son that he never thought he was going to have. Now he's been told he's going to have one. And this other piece of information, I'm old and the wife's old. But this is more than just Zechariah not being sure what's going to happen. This statement is like a statement of impossibility. And you might think, well, what was different between that response and Mary's response from verse 34? Mary says, how will this be? See, Mary's asking her question, I hear what you're saying, but explain more to me. How is this actually going to happen? How will this happen to me and through me? Zechariah is telling this angel, this can't happen because me and the wife are too old. All right. Zechariah, you see, is a man lacking in faith. Just like a pilot who has lost faith in the aviation industry. Zechariah seems to be here. He's going through the motions. He's ticking all the boxes. He's doing his duty. But his faith and his relationship with God Almighty is just ticking over. And yes, the context is it has been very quiet between man and God for hundreds of years. And all of a sudden, he's got this message which has blown his mind. But it was the same for Mary, and her response was quite different. Perhaps you're here today, and you've come in to hear as you come in every other Sunday, and you're just going through the motions. You stand up to sing, and you sit down again, and the song's over, and you've not remembered a word you've sung. You maybe forgot the reason why you come to church. It's just something that you do. Maybe you're here today and your faith in God is lacking, just like Zechariah's faith in God. Well, Zechariah's faith definitely got a wake-up call in verse 19. The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." This verse is a kind of verse that we would sum up in Northern Ireland by saying, "Do you know who you're talking to, boy?" Do you know the way when you start speaking to someone, you don't realize who they are or the position that they hold? Zechariah has forgotten that he is standing in front of angel Gabriel, man of God, standing in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God. This angel has been sent to him with a message for him about his place in God's salvation history. Good news. The word there is euangelion. That is the word that we use for gospel. First mentioned here. This is the good news of the gospel that Zechariah has just received. The angel is saying, you know, you are literally one step away from being face to face with God. You can't get closer to God than speaking to me, angel Gabriel. Zechariah was struck dumb because of his lack of faith. God's will was still going to be done, but Zechariah was going to be struck dumb. People outside wondered, he's taking a long time. They were maybe starting to think, should we give this rope a pull to see if he's still in there or what's going on? But he comes out, they know something is going on, but they don't know exactly, and Zechariah goes home. And then our story jumps forward to the birth. He goes home and Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And we jump forward then to 57 when the child was born. There's a debate then about what this child is going to be called, and there's lots of opinions. Can you imagine what that's like? A group of women all sitting around trying to decide what's right. And what did they have to do? They had to go and ask the man. Hey, I love that wee verse of scripture. Not right, man? Amen. But they go to Zechariah and they say, what's this child going to be called? But I wonder, in that over 9 months, what was going through Zechariah's mind? From he met that angel till this moment now, where his son is born, right in front of him. There have been hundreds of years of silence between man and God. And an angel has appeared to him. He's prophesied to him, about him. He has been struck dumb. He has gone home and his old wife, this old man, has got his old wife pregnant. And then Mary arrives. The whole story of Mary is in the middle of this. Mary arrives with her testimony, her story of angels appearing to her and her pregnancy. And his wife Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and a proclamation about the child that is in Mary's womb. And then Mary breaks out in song. Zechariah is a priest. He knows all of these prophecies. He would know them off by heart. And I wonder, at this point, was he pulling all of that information together? His own experience, the experience of the people around him, the word of God, was all coming together. And I think we find the answer in verse 63. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." There is no doubt about it. Doesn't matter what everyone else is saying or what everyone else thinks or about family histories or family trees. His name is John, because I was told by an angel his name was John. His name is John. And when he wrote it, immediately, verse 64, his mouth was opened. Now we have a man not lacking faith. We have a man exercising faith. He praised God. He praised God to anyone who would listen, and probably even ones who didn't want to listen. He was just full of it. What did he say? We're not sure, but the whole country was talking about it. Awe and wonder about God's plan. Now, I know what it's like whenever I'm off for 4 weeks over the summer and you haven't preached for 4 weeks, and you meet people and you have experiences, you do a bit of reading, you see some sermon illustrations, you sit down at your desk and you want to get all of that into the first sermon. So you'll usually find, oh, you'll only start dodging the first Sunday in August now. You'll usually find the first sermon in August is always a wee bit longer because there's lots of stuff. So Zechariah had 9 months of preparation to pull all of this experience all together, and he is going for it. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he breaks out in song. Now we have a man singing about his faith, the Benedictus. Benedictus Dominus Deus. Blessed be the Lord God. This man has burst out in song about his faith. And his song can be broken down into four little sections. And we're just going to briefly go through those four little sections. He thanks God for the Messiah. Praise be to the Lord, or blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come, he has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his prophets of long ago. A horn of salvation. A horn is a sign of strength. So if you had a bull with big horns, if my bull had bigger horns than your bull, my bull was better than your bull. Horns are a sign of strength. This is a horn of salvation that he is singing about. This baby, this salvation is still probably in Elizabeth's womb whenever he's singing this song. But nonetheless, he knows that the time has come. He then sings about deliverance from enemies, verse 71 to 75. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Deliverance from enemies, covenant fulfillment, to be able to live in holiness and righteousness. Now, this is not just a political deliverance. Some of them did think that. When this Messiah came, the Romans would be conquered, the Philistines would be conquered, everybody would be conquered, and they would be the main political party once again. It's not about that. It comes at the end. To enable us to serve him without fear, to live holy lives, to live righteous lives before God all of our days. And then he gets to a word about his own son. In verse 76, you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Zechariah understands John's role. This little baby probably hasn't taken a step yet. Definitely hasn't taken a step. He's a little infant child. But he knows that he's going to walk before the Lord. He understands his role as a father in this. John has the Holy Spirit. But as a priest, Zechariah would have known Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. See the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Impress them upon your children. Mary and Joseph had a job to do with Jesus. Like Jesus. After Jesus separated from his mom and dad when he was 12 and disappeared, when they found him again in the temple, it says, he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother treasured up all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and men. Jesus and John, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God on earth, still needed earthly parents in his full humanity. John was some boy. He was going to do a great thing. And then he finishes focusing on salvation. He starts off thanking God for the Messiah and then finishes off with this focus on salvation. Verse 78. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Mercy, light, and peace. Zechariah in his song is communicating to us. He understands all that has gone on before, or enough of it, to know that what is happening now is God's plan unfolding in his life and in his family. And he has faith in what is to come. There's a baby in a womb, there's a baby in the arms, but he knows what God is doing and what's going to happen in and through those children in the years that would follow. You know, folks, we're sitting today in what we could call a modern day temple. God is present today by his Holy Spirit. No angel Gabriel needed. The Holy Spirit is present in this room today. What is God saying to you today? What is God saying to you through Zechariah's song, or just through Zechariah's whole experience? Is God trying to give your faith a wake-up call today? Has your relationship with God been silent for far too long? Now, if you have a silent relationship between you and God, that's not God's fault. But God does not force his relationship on us in the initial act of salvation, nor does he force himself on us in that continued discipleship relationship. But what he does, he gives you a wee poke from time to time. Hey, I am God Almighty. You've been going through the motions for far too long, ticking the boxes, turning up, going home. Listen, do you remember the time that you placed your faith in the Savior Jesus Christ, the child that I sent at Christmas to die at Easter for you? You remember all of that? Do you remember I told you I had a plan for your life and I revealed some of that plan to you? Come on, let's get on with it. Is God saying to you, I have got kingdom purpose for you, for your life, to play a part in this amazing story? I have given you gifts from birth, abilities and talents. I have filled you with the Holy Spirit and given you gifts of the Holy Spirit to use for the kingdom. Is God saying that to you today? Now, you may not have a song to sing like Zechariah. You may not be musical at all. But you have a testimony to share. You've got a story about the things you get wrong. That's part of our testimony. But God forgives us. There's the things that we do that are right. God wants us to share our experiences of him with other people. Wake up. Realize what God has done. God's saying, realize what I want to do now in your life, in your family, in this generation. And have faith in what I am directing you towards. You don't know exactly where you're going, but I'm putting you this direction. Have faith in it. I have kingdom purpose in the plans that I have for you. Now, perhaps you're here this morning and you're going, I have no clue what you've just been talking about. Because you have no relationship with God. You have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You have not got a part yet in the whole salvation story. Maybe today you are wakening up to the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're realizing that this plan that God has been working out for hundreds of generations, he's now applying it to you in your generation. To you today. Maybe you're here and you're beginning to grasp just God's mercy and his peace and his love as the light of the gospel begins to shine into your dark soul. You may have walked in here with a smile on your face, but you know in your heart there's something missing. There's a weight. There's something that's not right. And just as the sun is shining through those windows, there's something starting to shine into your life this morning. What you need is his name is John moment. That's what you need, a little moment. Not that you need to start writing down his name is John, but you need that moment. Just like Zechariah, when we see that he pulled it all together, the Bible stories, his own experience, the experience of people around him, and in a moment, he wrote, his name is John, and immediately, the thing that was binding him was loosed. The thing that's binding you is your sin, and that's what you need to be loosed from, set free from. And you can do that immediately by placing your trust, faith in Jesus Christ. Is God offering you that opportunity today? Well, as surely as God offers these opportunities and as immediately as you can receive salvation, Satan will be trying to steal that moment from you. So what we're going to do now in closing, we're going to take a moment in prayer. We're not going to say wait and speak to somebody afterwards. We're in God's house. God is present. And we're going to take a moment to pray. There's three types of prayers. There are those of you in this room and your faith is strong. You're talking to God all the time. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit now to just give us names of people who we know are who are not saved. They're maybe in this room. I want you to pray for them now. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin. Maybe you're here and you've had that relationship, but it needs a wake up. Well, wake up now and pray to God. Ask Him to reveal more of what He wants in your life and for you and what He wants you to do. And if you're here this morning and you haven't placed your faith in God, we're going to take a moment. And I'm going to say one or two things. And we want you to pray along with a simple prayer and ask God into your life. Let's come now before God in prayer. Lord God, only a sovereign, all-conquering God could relate a 2,000-year-old story into our life situation today, right now. And we thank You for Zechariah. And we thank You, Lord, that we see a man in this story who was a godly man, but an imperfect man, who got something wrong, but who worked it out. And You worked it out with him. And You opened his mouth and You set him free to go and share that good news of what You have done. And we pray, Lord, that all in this room today would be set free in the same way, knowing that we have a story to tell of what You are doing in our lives. The assurance that that brings. Lord, help us to leave this place today and share that with anyone who would listen to us. Lord, may it be the case that in Grey Abbey and on the peninsula, that everyone who heard about our stories would wonder about what You are doing. Neighbours, people throughout the low hill country of the peninsula would hear about what You're doing in our lives. And Lord, for those who are gathered here today, who have not experienced a relationship with You, Lord, we ask that just in the same way that Your Spirit moved on that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, as Peter stood up and explained salvation and the need for it, that the people cried out, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent." We pray, Lord, that You are convicting the people that You love and have created of their separated position because of sin. Lord, we pray that You are revealing to them that they do not have to stay in that separated position. That because Jesus came and died for our sins, that we can have a relationship with You. Lord, we pray for the gift of repentance for all who don't know Jesus as Savior. Lord, that in their hearts they would pray, "Lord, I realize today who You are and who I am. I realize, Lord, the separation between You and me. Lord, I realize, Heavenly Father, that You sent Your Son to die for my sin. Heavenly Father, I repent of my sin. And I turn to Jesus today. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I give my life to You. I want to live every day of my life on this earth for You, with the assurance that when my life is over, that I will be with You. All veils gone, no need for angels or preachers, but standing face to face with You for all eternity. Holy Spirit, by Your power and Your power alone, we pray that You are working out salvation in the lives of those who need it today, and assuring us who have it that You are with us with purpose and plans. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final piece of praise this morning is, "O come, Emmanuel." And while we're singing this song and there is that sense of Christmas, "O come, Jesus, O come, baby Jesus, to earth physically," we are also singing, "Come into our lives." Jesus has come into people's lives on a daily basis since He rose from the grave. And we pray that that is happening here today in your life. So let's stand and sing, give glory to God. God has been speaking to you in any of the ways that we have talked about, and you want to speak to somebody about that, grab a cuppa or stay in here. There'll be members of the prayer ministry team, elders, I'll be about, and have that conversation. We don't want Satan to steal anything glorious, any blessing from you today. So we ask for the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to rest and remain securely on each of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.